This is a production of Cornell University.
Employee Assembly, November 15th, 2006.
Than react to the chili chat and share whatever they're doing in their units already.
Okay, they're not all supervisors.
Not all supervisors, but the ones who are.
Okay.
That seems to be the next step for the silly chats themselves.
So then one of the questions that we would want to pose to the students, if you could put it in a question, like for those of you who are supervisors.
Do you see any issues with this? Or do you anticipate any difficulties that other supervisors would have with these recommendations? And what might they be?
So maybe react to the recommendations in a general way, and then what particular challenges might you face in implementing them?
Ideas for implementation.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if there is staff, they can also put their input if it wasn't shown in that.
Right.
If there are a few staff who are involved.
Well, they're all staff, too. So they all have both the issue. But it's, I think it's a you know, it's important to give everybody there a chance to say, did we miss anything? You know? Mm-hmm. Is there anything we missed? I mean, does this accurately reflect what you feel personally? Or what you might hear, and then what challenges one might be facing. You know, what are your reactions to the recommendations, and then what challenges one might be facing. Hey, there is something that didn't come up.
You might want to look at this as a pair of fresh eyes, because a lot of these folks probably have only seen some reference to it in places, and maybe some of them have gone to the website to see some of the content. But this is packaged a little bit differently, and recommendations are honed a little bit more. So it's a good thing, you know, to have that set of, you know, that new look at it, and then maybe take it a little bit further from there and what they say. So.
Great. So maybe what we could do then is finalize the report. I don't. It doesn't seem to me like there are many edits that need to happen. I think it's this website. We can do that. And then we had talked about putting together a PowerPoint presentation on the report. That's okay. You don't have to do that. But maybe this would be a good opportunity to do that.
It's a really easy report to read. I mean, if you put together maybe a, if you wanted to, maybe an overhead on the actual recommendations, but you know, it's a pretty clear report. It kind of goes through it step by step. I'm not sure it's worth your
time.
Yeah. I mean, that's up to you, but I think
I'm just looking at it from a process perspective. It's kind of like, we'll get this report out to them that we'll all meet.
With the and then we'll say, you know, come prepared to discuss these questions.
So we'll fit the questions out with the report.
I think for this group that makes the most sense, you know, because it's already fairly clear and set at home. I think what we were talking about a while back was actually preparing something for presentation to trustees or senior managers or whatever.
I think David wanted it prepared for senior staff.
Yeah, right. So we could take that and then boil it down, because you're not going to get as much time with those two.
I know, I was looking for this as a test audience.
Yeah. Although I have to say it doesn't take long to read this report, because it's got a lot of data in it, so the pictures. I mean, it's not like you're reading 28 pages or whatever.
So should we work on developing questions now? What we, since we can really get that report out in the next day or so, I mean, I think it's ready to go.
It's great.
So, how's that with everybody?
Well, here's what I heard. I think I heard you say. I think I heard you say. Are there any? Do you want to ask if there are any issues that were missed, or just that, whether there were any recommendations that were missed?
Which were maybe some issues that were missed.
That's kind of broad, actually, because didn't we come to the table with the chili chats with three specific issues?
I think at this point it's a rather moot question, because other than to redo the entire thing, how would we readdress the issues?
Well, you really wouldn't change your report. The only reason to ask it is if the only reason I would suggest something, and maybe that is too broad of a one, is that I would say the campus climate shifted even since we did those. I hear a lot more now than I did back then about workload. And, you know, I'm just hearing a lot more about that now. So you might want to give them an opportunity to say, geez, I would have said workload more than any of these other things, or I'm surprised workload didn't come. So maybe there's a way to frame it, like, given the three questions that were asked.
Or is anything surprising?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we could send the email to the people who are on the suspended group to have them check out the show chat before the meeting. So
I think that's
ready.
The idea.
We're going to send them out the report, and then given the three questions that were asked, you surprised by any of the findings. How's that? I'll send it out to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, that's a question that'll spark some conversation too. So.
And then, I thought I heard you say something about the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could just open that up. What are your general reactions to the recommendations? Any that you support? Any that you missing or something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you just ask the point of information? How many people are involved in the suspended group?
The number of individuals invited, I think, equals the number of EA members. I didn't like count, but I basically about the same amount. So 15. Are we giving a copy of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Donna's got a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Jonathan, we get something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, prior to we were going to get that list, and I was.
Got it.
And then what was the third one? Are there any? Do you anticipate any challenges in implementing the recommendations? Mm-hmm. That's a closed-ended question. Not do you.
Would you?
What?
What are?
What challenges do you?
Okay.
And this is an hour-long?
Yeah.
Meeting?
Now, you all have met David and you've had him here.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize that we may not get to any of this, right? Because the first thing we'll have will be time for him. So, okay. He's not on the phone, is he?
Yeah,
he's calling. Well, because they really want to meet him.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I'm just saying that it may not go in this direction, but if it does, this is what we would do. Okay.
And fair enough. I mean, this will be the first meeting, so we should allow extra time for the socialization factor.
The other thing that we're getting is a lot of people saying, when do I get to meet with the president? So he had offered you all another open forum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you guys want to do that?
Well, we had thought, actually, in Geneva was what we had talked about, doing something in Geneva in the spring.
Well, he's going to Geneva.
Okay, so we get another one.
About another time.
I kind of feel like he offered you another
one. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I heard him say he was willing to do another one. He had, Geneva's already on his schedule.
Let's take it.
So
I almost felt like he wanted more than just another address.
He wants an open forum.
Right, he wanted a dialogue.
He wants something, yes. He wants more of a question and answer.
Mm-hmm. With a greater group of staff? Or just with the employees?
No, he sees you guys like every other month and all the way through the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's still getting used to it.
Just clarification, I guess I was hearing it a large venue like a draft, but in a very different, he may say a few words, but then have a mic for people to ask questions.
Questions
Q&A, and that's what I thought he meant.
Yep.
Because I'm getting a lot of questions about this, about when do I get to see him. It would be good, and you're going to too, it would be good to be able to get out a date and save the date.
Sometime in the mid or late spring, maybe.
Right after we come back from break, it would be good to put a save the date out, like end of January or so.
Oh, that early in the season.
I would, because otherwise people are just going to keep asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to get a save the date, yeah. though, done. No, not have it in January.
Right. Like April, oh, like March yeah. or April, maybe? I don't
yeah,
think that's awful, but if we could.
Maybe during spring
break.
Okay,
when is spring break?
So,
I suspect no. they'll put them on the road in spring.
I think we'll wait sometime in that horrible period between the holiday and Memorial Day when everybody's just blah.
I think we should have him meet with everybody on Martin Luther Day and explain why we're all here.
I'm here for Luther King Day.
Huh?
When is
Luther King Day? Third, I know, really.
Third Monday.
The third Monday of January.
We just get back.
Done.
Well, I've said on more than one occasion that the resolution to days off have to go to the Senate.
I still think it should be the first day of spring.
If he's here for spring break, I'm sure that would be a possibility. But they find him on the road a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, I hope that he's going to end up being here for all the meetings he's already committed to.
I'm sorry, Michael had a question.
DEA has ownership of these recommendations, so
yes.
when you put that out there, and you're going to do that not only with this expanded group, but with the entire community, I think people are going to expect action plans
mm-hmm.
for each of these recommendations and strategies on who you're presenting them to and how you will do that presenting and what the deliverables
uh-huh.
you can expect. So, I mean, I haven't heard anything about that. From the DEA. Yes.
Okay. Those were my comments to the draft. I gave those in comments on the draft, that they needed to be made actionable with, you know, time frames and responsibilities. Because otherwise you'll hear that. When you ask this question,
mm-hmm.
people are going to say,
okay.
you can't do this. And,
right.
And I know that the Working Family Advisory Committee is also looking at the Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
As an additional day off, and I'm not sure that they have an action plan mm-hmm. around that.
Well, it has to go to the faculty senate.
Right, and that calendar is already in
2010.
Okay.
Well, I'm just thinking about what Michael was saying, not to get too far ahead of the game, to use the input we get from December 4th meeting, because there may be a lot of good ideas that come out of that too. Then implement the schedule.
Oh, so we could ask this group to help us.
Yeah, like one of our things
is
one of the recommendations has to do with setting up a program of people to fill in. Well, there may be a lot of ideas on how to accomplish that.
If you frame it as what challenges do you anticipate in the implementation, that may get at that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll say that.
Mm-hmm. So that by the time we presented to senior staff, then we would have all of that laid out. Okay.
Right.
Oh, my God. I have to think for now. Sorry. Okay.
And the recommendations, Mary, that you sent out, we did address with the updated.
Okay.
So we
I
draft
just
a lot of
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else?
It'd be nice to run our ideas for the supervisor chats by them, the questions we're going to ask in general forum
mm-hmm.
and see if their reactions to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're part of the recommendations, right?
Well, not just more specifically about the actual.
Right.
Ask them the questions.
Future, right. The questions for the supervisors.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. So, okay.
You only have an hour, and just to reframe this one again, it starts with David. So you got to start with the introduction. And right? I'm just saying that
we can talk about
going around a group of 30 with David in an introduction is not like saying
that's the whole hour.
So then he's going to want to say something, right, to everybody.
Right.
And so if you have a half an hour,
yeah,
all told, you'll be lucky. So
actually, I was thinking about if we do that with the questions for the supervisor chat, maybe we can send those to them ahead of time.
Okay. You can send them things ahead of time. They, you know, how much you get in write. I was going to say maybe you could ask them to fill something out.
I know.
Probably won't.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the best way to.
Think of
white people talk to them on the phone.
Well, there's other meetings before the actual supervisor chat, so I'll have a chance to talk to them and ask.
Maybe the next one.
We're trying to get some feedback from them, and it's an opportunity to, because they're going to, you know, they're supervisors, some of them anyway, and it would be a great testing ground. But but I know that CompTIA came up with some questions, but I'd be interested. Did you get those questions yet? You haven't heard them yet. Well, in lieu of that, do you have any ideas of what those questions might be for the next phase in the spring?
You mean about the supervisors, about the issue of time off?
Yeah. Well, any of them, actually. I mean,
the supervisor chats are more general? Mm-mm. Or are they about time off?
What we did is we took the three questions we asked the employees, but kind of reversed them so that it would address the supervisor.
I see.
And we came up with, how do you keep your staff motivated?
Uh-huh.
Other than heavy workload, what are the biggest obstacles you face when approving vacation time for your staff? And the third one, when staff returns from vacation, what steps do you take to avoid work overload?
I think those are great. I just think that most people right now want to talk about their workload.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the sense I have, mm-hmm. that all of these things dance around the issue that people are really struggling with, and supervisors are feeling as though the workloads are out of their control.
Yes.
So I think those are fine, because frankly, I don't think it's the EA's obligation to get, this is a sort of a pivotal institutional planning issue.
Right.
You can talk about it, but not, you know, you'll whip them up and there's got to be an answer.
Right.
So I think you can do that, but I do think we should just know that saying other than workload, we take out the thing that at least I'm hearing the most about. So I think we can do that, but you know, I think we have to somehow acknowledge that we're hearing a lot about workload, you know?
Well, how about if we reword it and we say, you know, workload is your biggest obstacle?
Well, maybe you could just make a fourth question. What is your biggest obstacle?
Yeah.
And let them say what it is. And if it's workload, then you can say, you know, that's kind of a tough one to address in the venue that we're in. So other than workload, you know, what are some, then that way at least you've given that them a chance to voice it.
Okay.
Because I just think if you start by taking off the thing they want to talk about most, then kind of like says, no, we don't want to hear that, and we do want to hear it.
Right.
You know, we're just saying that as it relates to giving people time off, it can't be the reason that people don't give time off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but workload is going to impact every single one of those other ones, and it's going to be hard to just take that out without really spending a lot of time defining what workload means.
Okay. What if we changed it to, we didn't say, what are the three biggest obstacles? That would allow them to say workload.
Mm-hmm.
And we would still continue to get answers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we would still give them that option. And we would still get the other issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think if you can do, what are you planning to do those?
To start the
spring?
Spring. She didn't have that.
What are we going to
do? There's another question. Because I definitely would want to have this input to be able to...
Yeah, but we don't want to wait a whole year to come.
No, I mean, we want to go in early spring, don't you think?
Well, I think after the new year.
Yeah, it's February.
You want to go on New Year's Day? Yeah, I definitely that's
right.
So early February, March, and then April, and then
I don't know what that date is. That's sort of what I'm thinking.
February 2nd is the second meeting on this week.
Mm. But we don't want to belabor chili chat. I mean,
well, that's the first one, but the second one, you know, we could use February 2nd to talk about workload.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that could inform the senior staff. What I was trying to do is, put it, the senior staff conversation has to be about time off and wellness.
Yeah.
And if you can frame it around the emerging concerns around workload management, then you sort of open up both conversations at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I like that.
So we did it like mid-February?
Yeah. I have to see when the date is.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Because you got to get on in the queue
in a second.
Okay, so.
That would then be before you start the round of forums with supervisors.
Yeah, I think it's best to advise the staff before we do something.
Sure.
We have some tentative dates.
The one in Geneva we have to change, but the three locations that we thought about was Statler, Geneva, and Robert Purcell of Pell, depending on which one we could get. Checking with your calendar, Statler would be Tuesday, February 27th. We had Geneva Monday, March 19th, and we had Robert Purcell Tuesday, April 10th. But President Scorton planned on going to Geneva in March.
No, February.
Okay.
But I don't think you're not. So we're, President Scorton's not coming to the
you are.
Oh, just me?
Yeah.
My calendar, don't worry about me.
I was trying to get you plugged in so that we had
back in March. If I go, you mean going to Geneva in February with him and then going back in March? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Because my calendar's free, that's fine.
Okay. Michael?
Why isn't the presentation for senior staff after both the supervisor and the other employees have gone through the process? I mean, it seems like it would be dual sides of an issue.
That would be like April?
Well, I mean, I'm just questioning.
Going to senior staff after the...
Why not do it after you do both groups, having already done the employees?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand what the reason is for that. But I sense that there's a reason.
Well, when I'm just trying to not let a whole year go by. Not really a reason. It's just feeling like if it's April when you talk to senior staff, then... I mean, it would be a fuller conversation if the whole thing were done. So maybe we could do an interim report to senior staff and try to get on the president's council in the spring.
In the spring. Mm.
Then you get the dean.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do both. So you do an interim report to senior staff, and then you do a full report to the dean.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get, then at the full report, you're able to do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Okay. Because they're going to meet twice a semester. So that second one in the spring semester. Okay. So when's that last one? That one?
April 10th.
April 10th, so that spring meeting. Let me find out when the spring meeting is.
Okay. And Hazel, the dates that you had were just based on Mary's availability?
Yes. I'm going to work with Amy to see what rooms are available.
But those dates can also be pushed.
That's my
point.
So there's flexibility.
Well, let's find out when the president's council is and maybe work from that.
Yeah.
If that date's been set, so I don't actually know if it's been set, so we'll see.
Great. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
You too?
I'm excited.
It's a pretty good time, right?
They're just full. I ate this humongous brownie at the last lunch I was at. I didn't eat the lunch because they didn't have one for me, but I did eat somebody's brownie, and I'm like, stop. But I'm enthused that you just...
I can tell.
Yeah, momentum's got to build upward.
I think it's been a bad lunch.
Okay, this sounds great, and I'll try to put this... Because this is my thing. I need to have a timeline, a sequence, so that we all know what's happening when. It'll make me feel better.
Well, and it also will mean that can be the basis of your conversation with the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, because then the report to the trustees happens the end of May. So that sequence worked out really nicely. Thanks for that suggestion. I think, oh yeah, you were here. When David met, another thing I wanted to just kind of throw out there was the connection with the medical college. You and I have talked about that a little bit, and it came up in our last meeting with him, so I thought that maybe this would be a good chance to at least get that out there a little bit and have a discussion if you were willing to do that.
I need to talk to, this is very foreign in their culture.
Yeah.
They have no employee groups, no faculty groups, no regular meetings. Other than of the very, well, they work like a hospital in a lot of ways. And they just don't, I don't know, they just don't have, like, they have an administrators group, the, I don't know, what is it, like nine departments that, they're much more decentralized. So the departments are the end all and be all of everything.
Uh-huh.
They have a very small college organization. And those people meet with the business manager for the college. And like their human resource office doesn't have a group it meets with on a regular basis. There's nothing. There's no, like, I guess maybe once a year the faculty gets together. It's just, it's a completely different, like, set of relationships. So,
so this would be a good opportunity for you just to get in there and do what you wanted to do. You could just make it the way you wanted it.
Well, what I thought I would do, well, no, I mean, yes. But what I do, but what I thought might be helpful would be for the, yeah, I have a bunch of things I need to do with them about their climate.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would do it while we talked about our climate, so we would talk about all the climates, like weather. But the EA should think about, you know, I don't know, I haven't gone back to your bylaws, so we need to look and see, do the bylaws exclude them? Are they silent on them? What does the university, you know, what do the bylaws say about them?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, okay. It is silent. As far as naming the medical college, but in Article 3, you know, the first line is the EA shall consist of 13 employees, of whom 6 will be from the endowed unit, 6 from statutory, and 1 from Geneva, and 1 from the at large. So that's what.
Yeah,
doesn't say where.
Well, they're not an endowed
unit. It does say that it's just near Geneva. Somewhere in it does.
Well, I looked through it and I didn't see where it's specifically in Ithaca only.
It's in Linnea, Ithaca, and Geneva.
Amy did. And Amy sent me the wording a week or two ago.
I took it off the web, so I mean it could be that.
Well, this is from the last approved version of the charter. Was that from the charter itself?
Mm-hmm. It's right toward the end.
Okay.
Well, regardless of what the charter said, can't we decide what we think is the best thing to do and change the charter if it doesn't reflect?
What you could, thinking you have a couple of ways to go. First is to really, truthfully, think about what you want in related to this. This is a very different campus. Their problems bear very little resemblance to your problems. Truly, they do. They live such a different life. They commute, in many cases, they're commuting 2 to 2.5 hours each day to get to work. Most of the staff and a lot of the research faculty don't live anywhere near the Upper East Side. It's really just the clinicians that can afford to live there, and even then, it's the top clinicians. So they've got serious, and the Upper East Side has got no post, it's bus only, there's no subway there. So they've got a lot of serious problems in terms of their work schedules. They're a 24/7 operation, their work days are very elongated, they have high turnover, they're in multiple units, and I mean like units where you have to get on a bus to go from one unit to another. So they've got some really pretty significantly different kinds of problems as relates to a community. So I'm just being honest, you got to really think about whether you want to take that on or do you want to encourage them to take it on. do you want? You know, it's not obvious to me what the right answer to this is. They should be doing it for a whole lot of other reasons, but what role does this VA want to offer? Because they may say, no, thank you, but what if they said yes?
Have we made an offer to, okay.
No, there's been, so far there's been nothing done on this except Donna and I talked about the fact that I've been spending more time down there, and it's, I mean, you know, their employees have no self-governance as far as I can see. So that was just a set of observations. So I would encourage you to have a, you know, a pretty full textured conversation about this before batting out an idea. Because like I said, you may run into complete resistance, in which case it can be about the fight. But what if they say, thank you, that would be great. When can you start? You know, it's not without its downsides. And you'll find that much, if not most, of what we could do here has to be tailored if it's even relevant there. At least that's what when I go down there, you know, they have much shorter term service. They have very little career pathing. It's very decentralized. They have problems that we can't even anticipate. So, you know, and then they don't have other problems we do have.
I hear. I have lived in a hospital working for 25 years, and being here at Cornell, I still don't quite get the climate. I'm still back in my hospital mode. I think it would be great to invite them to come and share, but I would not see a benefit to them or to us trying to work as an EA together, because it's two different worlds. And you spend so much time just trying to understand one world.
But you could encourage them. I'm not saying you would want to, but you could encourage them to start one for themselves.
Yes,
like that might be something.
Encourage them to come and share and see what has been done here and what they could do there.
Right.
How many employees, and are they both union and non-union?
They're all non-union.
All non-union.
And it depends on how you count.
Okay.
So there are 3,500 employees in the complex that we touch. Less than half of those are on our payroll, because our faculty in about half of the cases reside at the hospital. So there might be one of our administrative managers and six hospital employees. So you can't really separate them other than the fact they get different paychecks. And different benefits, but they're integrated in some cases in addition to the hospital employees, and they also have the health system. So they've got the 49 health centers around the area as well. Those are on a separate payroll too, which also is Columbia. So in some cases, when they're residing in the hospital, it's Columbia doctors, Cornell doctors, staff from all three places.
So, Mary, when you're saying separate payroll, meaning another entity, another organization that's not Cornell.
Right. Well, they have the health center system is a separate from, it's not the hospital, it's not Cornell, it's not Columbia.
Even though the umbrella says Cornell Medical School, it's a different entity.
Well, Cornell Medical School, including a physician's organization, is all under one umbrella. But then they've got, I think it's 49 of these health centers. It's a vestige from about 15 years ago when, remember, managed care was all the rage. A lot of urban hospitals created and owned these centers as feeder systems from the local care into their feed into their hospitals for revenue purposes. We still own a number of those health centers around, but those people are on a different payroll too.
So when President Skorton envisions this greater cooperation and a greater closeness, can you identify any specific channels that he has indicated that he wants to see this to blossom?
Means this primarily on the academic side related to the Cornell physicians and researchers. So the Cornell employees, if you will. The problem is that that's a distinction we have. And in some cases, it's absolute. Like on a couple of our, a lot of our departments are in our own. Although you literally in the same building, you open a door and you're in a hospital. You're in New York Hospital. You're not Presbyterian Hospital, but you're in New York Hospital. But they're on this side of the door, and they're all our employees. But if they're on that side of the door, then they might be some of our employees. And so when he talks about it, he's talking about the academic collaborations, the research collaborations between our faculty and researchers and there and because primarily. Mm-hmm. He's not really talking about the broader clinical practice, because that's really more on the kind of like the hospital relationship side.
So pursuing this a little further than that 3,500 number over one large branch, maybe two down, you have some employees that are purely Cornell.
Yeah, I think like, I want to say it's like 1,500, mm-hmm. but I think that might even be too big.
And there's a lot of commingling between that staff and other staff. So, you know, the EA model that we have here might not even come close to the client. And I think the real issue is with what you kind of brought up is that they don't even have an organization at the moment. So how do we even interface with that group? I mean, if you can't even define the group easily.
They seem to, maybe out of necessity, avoid all proactive behavior because who are they going to be proactive with? I mean, as soon as you start thinking about something proactively, you have to define the group. Like, reactively, you know, you can say, oh, you have a problem or you have a job opening. Is it our employee? Like, you can do it one at a time. But when you define a group over there, almost always some are the hospitals and some are the are ours and some are Columbia. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example. We had a problem with the mail room. When I was doing an analysis, and this one, we were at jeopardy, really. I was just completely frustrating this very prominent new department chair who had come from Harvard. And she was unhappy because she couldn't get her mail. Well, I thought, well, how hard can that be? Well, turns out that it was in the hospital, and it was the hospital's mail room. But somewhere in that was Columbia people having I couldn't get anywhere. I don't know if she ever got her mail. But, you know, so stuff we just take for granted. They've got all these, like, relationships.
So even within that strata, there's employee relationships and sub-relations that we won't even have a concept of. And if we were to try to interface with just the ones that are labeled the Cornell pot, that might actually create some other issues. It's like, well, we got representation, but you guys don't.
Exactly. I mean, I wanted to talk about a climate survey there.
Yeah.
Right, which seems like it would be simple. And they said, well, you know, what are you going to do? Send a climate survey to one person when six are sitting there and three belong to the hospital and two are Columbia's and one is yours? Yours gets it and... So when they say something, how do you know whether that's got anything to do with Cornell and if they're sitting in the hospital? And yeah, it's just a really different environment. But, you know, but that said, like they could decide collectively to put an employee group together for Columbia, Cornell, the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things you could do to just encourage them to hear the voices of the people that work there.
Yeah.
Because they don't have much.
I worked in the hospital for many years, and it is a totally different world, just as academia is a totally different world. And as convoluted as it sounds, I am not so sure that we necessarily would want to join, but absolutely I think it would be very worthwhile to offer our assistance.
Mm-hmm.
That I think, I mean, anytime we can help our fellow Cornellians, I think would definitely be worth the effort.
David kind of did give it to you, something to think about.
Well, if it's as minute as sending a copy of our charter.
Or just say to them, this is a group that was created for the Ithaca campus.
Right.
you know, we have, you know, we are excited by the collaborative things we're hearing, mm-hmm. and although our, you know, circumstances are different here, we are, you know, offering our services for you to discuss. I mean, I don't know, it could be just something like that.
Just a matter of support.
Yeah, okay. But if you said that, what's the process to say it?
You would have to send it to the dean.
You're just going to say who you're saying.
Yeah,
you would have to send it to the dean. There is no, as far as I can tell, there is no other effective place to send it. You could send it the level below him, but he'll just give it to the level below him. Yeah. There's no
structure.
And their HR office doesn't function in the same way. So mm-hmm. I would say if you wanted to do that, and I would think long and hard about mm-hmm. what you offer. you know, frame it in the context of wanting to support the inter-campus collaborations, and then, I don't know after that, but I'm just saying that if you wanted to do that, you could do that, and he might pick you up on it. And
would it be of all practical or any value when, say, for example, I'm not speaking for you, Don, but say, for example, when you're in New York City to meet with the dean and discuss the possibilities before sending such a, or not necessarily?
I would probably decide what you're willing to do mm-hmm.
first.
And then send a letter and then offer that as an option. You know, he's likely to accept the offer if you've structured it in a way that he can understand. You know, I don't think that, you know, it's not as though they don't care. They do. It's just a completely different world. And it's kind of grown up around their oddities. Like, they had this cabaret thing that I went to, and they did this fantastic, the cabaret was, there was this guy named Taylor, he was on that show where you audition and sing. Taylor Hicks. Who said that? Taylor Hicks. Yeah. He was on this show. There's a TV show where, like, all these singers audition and you, like, win something.
American Idol?
Yeah. American Idol. That's it. That's the one. So anyhow, he was the singer, which was really loud. But before that, they took, this is all connected, they took the American Idol idea and they did it across Cornell, Columbia, and the hospital, and they had all these staff audition, and they came up with three winners, and they had them come out and sing in front of this, like, really huge audience of thousands of people. So they do have community-based things they do, and the staff were thrilled, and they were amazing singers. And so, you know, it's not like there's nothing or they don't think about it at all. They do it in their own way. So.
Well, to keep this rolling and keep us moving ahead, I think as chair of the OIC, I would like to take a stand at IAC.
Thank you.
Yes. If my dyslexia is well. To take a stab at writing a draft letter and share it with the chair and the executive committee and then with the rest of the board to just kind of put a frame around this a little bit to see what we might be able to do. I know enough people in the development office down in New York City that I can place a phone call and just chat with them very informally about the kind of things that they see from underneath.
Yeah.
And might lead us somewhere. So, and then that would probably be a good thing to keep it rolling and let, you know, President Scorton know that, you know, that we're starting to engage in a very simple, very informal way. So.
I think that would be good.
We've gone over your time. Five. Did you have anything for us?
At some point when I'm a little farther down the road, I do want to talk about the climate survey, but I don't have anything to say yet. Oh, and I just came from the budget meeting on the child care center. So we have a preliminary site for the child care center on A lot. Yay, 158 kids.
I thought you were going to say the Cornell Medical Center in New York City.
I can't get this one built.
So. On A-Lot or
next to A-Lot? Next to A-Lot.
Oh, thank you.
No, we're not taking A-Lot.
Just
one you want.
attending the frisbee court.
We still have to get site approval for it. The students are not happy because apparently they play frisbee there.
Yep.
But
oh, well,
you know, that's the way life goes.
Fingers.
So it's a good site, and it's the only site we can find. I mean, the only other one we could find had those big, humongous power.
Ew.
Yeah. Right. We're and a cemetery across the street, and I was like, ew. So we have CMPC approval for the first phase, so we're still aiming to start in the spring.
Would that be in the town of Cuba Heights?
Village
of Cuba Heights.
Yes, we have one neighbor who's already said that it doesn't really matter what we're building there, he doesn't want it.
I thought you had talked to David in advance.
Huh?
I thought you had talked to the president in advance.
No. Good.
Different part of Cuba Heights.
He actually has a great location next to the A-Lot.
Right next to
A-Lot. Got them all, pick them up.
Yes. Yep.
Bada bing.
Yep.
How many kids?
158.
Ooh, and how, what's the need?
I'm sorry?
Does that meet the need?
Oh, no. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But I think it may be the only big center we build, because David would like to see every new building proposed with a potential center in it.
Wow.
So that would be much more, you know.
And
she's got it now in a number of different
ways. Another hypothetical question is, this state center, is it, looking at this broad planning committee and everything that's happening, is that anything that could be incorporated into a residential hall? Or is it going to be a standing structure itself?
Well, this is a standalone structure. You know, I can only tell you what we've learned from other places that have their child care centers connected to, it works better connected to graduate student housing than undergraduate housing. There have been some issues in undergraduate housing just, you know, because of the nature of undergraduates. But there have been, like my center that my kids went to at Harvard was in the graduate student housing at Harvard. So that's the possibility. Steve Golding has the issue of child care in the master plan.
Okay. Steve Golding is our guest, by the way, for December 20th meeting. So you want to remember that to ask him when he comes.
Yeah, well, his group has been great, and they're taking the lead on getting the center built. But I just wanted you to know, so it's still moving ahead, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll be get, you know, and it's nice because the president doesn't think it solves the problem, because it doesn't. It goes part of the way, but we still have quite a bit to go. And we have quite a challenge with the downtown centers, who really see this as a huge competition. And
I sure will.
Well, and it is a competition for the preschoolers, but they aren't interested in the infant care, so you can't run a center with just infant care. Great. Thank you.
All right. Oh, you get to
be
married.
Oh.
sorry.
All right. Okay. So we had a couple more things, business to attend to today. Did everybody get the handout for the revised meeting schedule?
No.
They're here on the table.
I want to look it up. I know where it is.
Oh, thank you. So the meeting schedule is a little more detailed, and it lets you know when Mary is attending or when Cooking Sporting is coming. We do have, as I mentioned, Steve Golding as a guest for our meeting on the 20th. We had talked about in our retreat about having senior administration and people of interest attending. So if those get scheduled, we'll update them. But I thought this was just, and thank you, Amy, for doing that.
Oracle's up to date on that.
So,
great.
The calendar, the online.
Our Oracle or the EA Oracle?
Everything.
Yeah.
So it's all been updated through some technical, very interesting technical details, but we did. So as I say, as people are invited or as we think of guests we'd like to have a time, we'll update.
What date is Steve going to be attending?
Steve Bowling is December 20th.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. And everybody knows who he is, right? Executive Vice President. So he has a lot of things under his purview, as Mary was saying, and it's the largest group of staff on campus actually report up through him. So, and he's sort of my boss's boss. So, yeah, so you make me look good. anyway, I thought this would be helpful. The other thing that Amy also updated was the membership list. And you'll see that Christine has been taken off the list because she's no longer an employee. So, although she's trying desperately to find employment at Cornell, she's now gone.
Oh, my phone number's wrong.
I'm sorry?
My phone number's wrong.
Okay, so Amy can update that for you.
So,
Beth,
can
we ask that? So, if you have changes to this, can you just send Amy an email to update? Great, thanks. So again, Christine is now gone. So that not only leaves us a vacant seat on the committee, but it also leaves us a vacant parliamentarian seat. So there are two things for us to deal with there. We had asked for a recommendation for parliamentarian, and Andre received one. So this way, Peter was the person nominated for a parliamentarian, so you get a chance to make a statement.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, in addition to being able to have even larger roles at EA, be able to contribute even more, it also gives me an opportunity to interact directly with senior staff and whatnot related to the issues that we're talking about. For example,
was he sleeping?
For example, Chili Chat and whatnot, because since I've had so much dealing with Chili Chat, it would be nice to be able to talk to staff directly rather than having to go between, so to speak. So it gives me the opportunity to represent you guys and show off how awesome you guys are. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
All right, so...
Have you read through the Robert's Rules of Orders, by the way?
Yeah.
I'll get it memorized.
So, hearing that, can I have a motion? Michael has a
question. Can we ask any questions?
I think you can ask questions.
And you didn't actually mention anything about the job of the parliamentarian. Mm-hmm. So, do you recognize what that entails, and have you taken action to...
I intend to. Understand what it entails so I can be prepared for it.
But you've not done any of that yet?
No, not completely, not yet.
When I throw it out there, we can vote by paper if people are more comfortable.
Or I can leave the room.
That way. Okay.
You put this on the table.
So, all right, so Peter, can we ask you just to excuse yourself on this?
Okay.
Thank you. Can you do?
Okay.
Would
you like me to pause the recording?
Yes.
Sure. Thank you.
I was making things of that thing with giving his time trying to get on the phone.
I've been told to remind us, actually, that there's a monthly meeting that we need to wrap it up on time today.
Congratulations, Peter. Congratulations, Peter.
So, what?
Two. And less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. We have an assembly position open on the university assembly. I know we put it out there before, but it's an important position to meet once a month, and I'm going to ask the board here again if you have someone that might be interested in attending. What day?
Wednesday.
4:30
to 6 p.m.
Yeah. Did you get food?
Yes.
We know who's important to this group. Okay, so contact me so we can actually fill you on that. All right, if you want to do it.
For which one?
Pam Dussel is gone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Pam Dussel has left her role.
Oh, that's why I haven't seen her. Okay.
I think that she has left her position and is looking.
Oh, okay.
The second thing is that during this whole meeting, we've had a guest here we never introduced. It's Carrie Howell in the back.
I'm sorry.
From the Health and Wellness Program. She's an associate director, assistant director. Which will be a good asset to us, actually, as he attends meetings. But he's also interested in joining in our
open
class.
So we happen to have an
open. Go through the process of that. So hopefully by next time we'll have everything in.
Sure, you've actually presented to us in the past. Several months ago. In combination with EAP and WDELC and the program.
Karen's kind of a wellness program guru. We do have one other small thing in the minutes that from the September 6th meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review them?
I didn't.
Okay, and that's all I had on my list.
I have just a quick announcement, if it's okay.
Sure.
Malik Rahim, who is a community activist from Common Ground Cooperative, where many months ago during the flooding in New Orleans in the Gulf region, Cornell sent just a huge amount of items. He's on campus, and tomorrow there's a luncheon from 11:30 to 1:30 in the Cook Dining Hall, and anybody who wants to come to that luncheon is welcome to join us at that luncheon. That's it.
Motion to adjourn.
The motion
is second. Thank you all for having.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.